So let me tell you a little bit about how this happens. The American Dialect Society has its annual meeting at the beginning of January, and we present a whole range of academic papers, but we also vote on the Word of the Year. We've been doing this for about 20 years. The organization itself has been studying American English since 1889. This is a gathering of linguists and lexicographers, the people who make dictionaries, whose job it is to track new words and meanings. This vote always happens on Friday afternoon, and perhaps I should note that it always happens right before happy hour. And what's been interesting is that this meeting has been getting more and more crowded. We now have over 200 people who come. There's an open floor for debate about the words. And as Alan Metcalf, who runs the vote, has been known to say, as he counts the votes by hand, we all just raise our hands, all vote counting is approximate but final. So this vote, which celebrates language change and lexical creativity, happens often just about a week after Lake Superior State has put out its list of banished words for the year. Words that they're tired of, often exactly because they've been so successful. So for 2012, the words that they banished were ginormous, blowback, man cave, and occupy, among others. So what did we do in January at the Word of the Year vote? Well, this year, we voted occupy as the Word of the Year. And this often happens, that what Lake Superior State has banished, we vote as the Word of the Year because it has been such a big part of the lexicon in that year. So 2012, the Word of the Year was occupy. The year before that, it was app. And the year before that, it was tweet. In the 90s, some of the words of the year were e, as an email, Y2K, Chad was the word of the year for 2000, and 9/11 was the word of the year for 2001. For 2003, the word of the year was metrosexual, which is a fashion-conscious heterosexual male, and it had been on the front page of the New York Times that year. Now, one of the things I love is that we don't just vote on the word of the year, but we have other categories. For example, most useful word of the year. In the 1990s, one of the most useful words of the year was dot, as in .com. And you'll notice that's not a new word, but it is a new use of a word. To Google, one most useful one year. Blog, one most useful. And a couple of years ago, fail, as a noun, one. And I remember when my students taught me the phrase, an epic fail, which is not just a fail, but it is a fail that involves some hubris in it. Another category, which I think is my favorite, is most creative word of the year. A few years ago, that was Googleganger. And this is a word formed on doppelganger. And a Googleganger is when you Google yourself, it's the people who come up who are not you, but share your name. Those are your Googlegangers. Another most creative was Dracula sneeze. This was happening the year of H1N1, and this is when we were all told to sort of sneeze into our elbows. One of my favorites is recombobulation area. This is, or at least was, at the Milwaukee airport, and it was an area so that when you, after you went through security, and you had to, for example, put your belt back on and otherwise recombobulate, you could do so in the recombobulation area. And then my all-time favorite, most creative word is multi-slacking, which is the act of having multiple windows up on your screen so that it looks like you're working when you're actually surfing the web. This list captures some of the many things that we can learn from looking at words. We can learn about technological developments. For example, app, or tweet, or Google. We can see historical events captured in the language. Occupy, 9/11, bailout, Chad. We can see cultural changes, metrosexual, flexitarian. We get to witness our creativity and playfulness with new words, such as multi-slacking and Dracula's knees. And we see the power of words. I have to say the word 9/11 still has a kind of visceral power for me. And I think for many people, that is just a word that remains very evocative. Now, these are all relatively new words, which can tell us about our cultural moment. We're also going to spend a lot of time in this course looking back in time, looking at where more established words come from, and learning from the stories that they have to tell. I would argue that there is no such thing as a boring word in the English language. Every word has a secret life from which we can learn. And let me start to make my case by telling you about the word of the millennium vote in the year 2000, which involved the words the and she. So in 2000, when we went to the word of the year vote, we were told that not only did we need to vote on the word of the year, but we also needed to vote on the word of the millennium.